to worship you. You are amazing, God. So everything we do for your glory. And we pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. Today we continue with the book of James. The topic I pick is the world's smallest but the largest troublemakers. In the book of James, chapter 3, verse 1 to 12, in the series of faith in action, you would understand that James, he had explained to us two characteristics of a mature Christian. He is patient in trouble, in James chapter 1. And he practiced the truth in James chapter 2. And now, when you get to the third characteristic of a Christian, he talks about the tongue, the world's smallest, but the largest troublemaker. You would understand that the tongue, man can use it to praise God, to pray, to preach the word, to lead the lost to Christ. What a privilege. But however, if we're not careful, the tongue can ruin the man's reputation, can break the people's heart. The ability to speak the words, trust me, is a privilege. Because you can use the word to influence other people. And you can use the word to accomplish tremendous tasks. Some of you probably already experienced using the word to influence the people to accomplish tasks and to be successful in life. But if we take this ability for granted, we may be in trouble. And yet, if we take ability granted in order to impress on us the importance of controlled speech and the great consequence of our words, James gives us six pictures of the tongue: the bit, the rudder, fire, a poisonous animal, the fountains, and the fig trees. So we very much understand if we put six of these pictures together in three meaningful classifications, that reveal three very, very powerful of the tongues. So we go one by one on each characteristics of classification. Number one, the word or the tongue, it had the power to direct. James, he used two images, the bit and the rudder. Let's read the Bible together in James chapter 3, verse 1 to 4. Not many of you should presume to be a teacher. My brothers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. We are stumble in many ways. If anyone is never at fault in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to keep his whole body in check. When we put the bit into the mouth of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animals. When John, he's talking about the power of the word, the power of direct, he very much using the image of the bit and the rudder. And if you observe the racing horse, you could find out the bit is just one little thing they put in the horse's mouth. And the rider can control the horse very much. Turn left, turn right, move forward, or stop. So just that little thing, the bit in the horse's mouth, can control a ton, weight a ton of horses. So very much the same thing for the boat or the ship. How many of you already travel like cruise ship or something like that? Okay, some of you. You very much, if you go down to control, the rudder is just a small device. And here the captain from the top, he can move the control and the rudder would turn the wheel, okay, to move the ship forward, backward, or turn the ship around. So if very much talk about the person in the James, the context of the book of James. The one who teaches the word faces very, very strictest judgment. The teacher must use their tongue to share God's truth. It's easy to make the commitments. It's easy to commit sins of the tongue. But the teacher have to practice what they teach. And otherwise, their teaching is hypocrisy if what they say is not matched with what they do. Okay, in the context of James, when he wrote the letter to the people at that time, just be with me, move back like 1,000 years, a couple thousand years ago, just thinking about the damage of the teachers to the people at that time if they teach something and not practice too. So if we move forward for today's world, the same thing. Be careful on what you say, your commitment, okay? Especially when you claim yourself as a Christian. People sometimes, they watch your action to see if your action really match with your word. That reason why I say we are unstumble in many ways. We have to admit that. We sometimes, in weakness, we stumble. But we have to recognize our stumble in order to correct ourselves. And sometimes, yeah, we say, hey, we make a mistake. It's okay to say we make a mistake. It's okay. Sometimes we say we oversay certain things. We very much set the expectation of the people when we say the word. So that reason why James, he teaches the people at that time, and I think he teaches for us today as a Christian. We have to be able to discipline our tongues. Because when we discipline our tongue, it means to give, it means we have the control of our own bodies. Because everything, believe it or not, is from the mind of what we think. But if we not control our tongue, from the mind, it goes through the tongue and it coming out. And sometimes it destroys the people. One of the story, probably you heard this 1,000 times, one of the lady, she have the issue very much like gossip, very much on the phone and spread the gossip all over the place. And one day, this lady called the pastor and said, "Pastor, I have a problem. So can you pray for me to control my tongue? Because somehow I keep spread the gossip. Good, bad, ugly, it's just coming out. It's just me, my nature, so pray for me so I can control, spread the gossip." What can the pastor say? Okay, he can pray. But if that lady not allow Christ to control her life, to control her mind, to control her tongue, or have the discipline in her tongue, regardless the pastor can pray 100 times, 1,000 times, it would not change her. The changing had to be from the inside of person. Because the person, when they pray, accept Christ as Lord and Savior, Christ sit in the throne of his heart. And from that throne, it controls the mind, the emotion, and the will. The will, it triggers the mind, the thinking of the people to come in now to the tongue. Yes, sometimes the people may fault you. But sometimes, when you use the word, you can influence them to change their attitude, their mind, their will, to encourage them to be good. Use the word properly to encourage people. And that's what Paul tried to tell the people at that time and telling us. The bit is very smart. The ruler is very smart. But it can control the huge hawks or the big ship. Some of you already know this statement, probably you heard 1,000 times. In World War II, people say, you lose lips, you sink ship. The same thing, the word back in World War II is very, very important during the time of war. Certain information you rather keep as for yourself. Certain information it probably not influence or not help the people, and I don't say it. But the word to tell the people is the word encouragement, the word of support, the word of prayer, the word to know we are in fellowship, and then we can say it. Secondly, he talked about the power to destroy. Believe it or not, the tongue has that power. Verse 5 to 8. Okay, verse 5. Likewise, the tongue is small parts of the body, but it makes great boast. Consider a great forest is set on fire by small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole person, set the whole course of his life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. So what Paul tried to communicate to the people at that time and to us, he used two images, the fire and the poisonous animal. On occasionally, probably you read the news, but a friend of mine in California called me way back. He talked about the forest fire in California. And if you still have a chance to visit that region, the whole region, we talk about thousand and thousand acres of land were destroyed by fire. And when they're talking about what is the reason of the whole region were destroyed by fire, they say it's just from the spark of fire. Somebody smoked and forgot to put out the fire. It's just a small fire at the camp someplace, and somebody forgot to put it out. And somehow it spread. It burned out thousand and thousand acres of land. It destroyed home, even a lot of, you know, very expensive home were destroyed by fire, completely wiped out. So the word, if we're not careful, it can destroy the people, it destroy their life, destroy the marriage. The fire spreads, and the more fuel you give to it, the faster and further it will spread. The tongue set on fire the course of nature, James 3:6, and set the whole course of his life on fire, if you read an NIV version. So James, he suggested that all of life is connected like a wheel. Therefore, we cannot keep things from spreading. A person's entire life can be injured, can be ruined, or destroyed by the tongue. Time does not correct the sin of the tongue. Time cannot do that. When the rumor or the wicked rumor or whatever spread, time cannot very much like keep it from spreading or correct the sin of the tongue. We may confess our sin. We can come to the Lord and confess our sin. Or we may come to our friend and we say we're sorry to spread the word. But the fire still keep on spreading. So that reason why James, he tell the people at time, make sure you control your tongue, control your word, because it destroys the people's life. As the fire spread, the fire destroys, and the word we speak have the power to destroy. And James very much reminding us that animals, the person animal, can be tamed. And for that matter, fire can be tamed. When we tame an animal, you get a worker instead of a destroyer. When you tame the fire, you can control the fire. The fire is something is good. You know, used for cooking, for boiling, for destroying germ and all of that. It's good. But if we're not control it, become very, very, very bad. Destroy life and destroy the people. So that reason why he said your tongue need not be set on fire of hell. In the book of James, verse 6, chapter 3, verse 6. Just like apostle, you know, during the Pentecost, And the tongue of the apostle at that time was set on fire of the Holy Spirit. But that fire spread the gospel, okay, from Jerusalem, and the people, you know, from all over the world come to Jerusalem during Pentecostal, and they understand the gospel, they come to Christ, and they begin to go back to their homeland and spread the gospel all over the world. So fire is good when we use the tongue to spread the gospel, to encourage the people, to bring the people to Christ. So God, if God lights the fire and controls it, then the tongue can be mighty tool for winning the lost and build up the church. And that's the key. That's the principle which James tried to teach us. So important thing, of course, is the heart. Everything begins from the heart. For it is out of the abundance of the heart that the mouth speaks. Matthew chapter 12, verse 34. So if the heart is filled with hatred, Satan would light the fire, hatred, and use the tongue to destroy the people. But if the heart filled with love, God's love, and God would light that fire to spread the gospel, the love of God, to other people. So we're talking about the tongue had the power of direct. The tongue had the power to destroy. And thirdly, the tongue had the power to delight. So Paul, he used the image of the fountain and trees in verse 9 to 12. Let's read the Bible together, verse 9 to 12. The version I put up there says NIV, but I pick up the Bible. My Bible is in King James, so that's the reason why when I read King James version, it not quite match with the NIV version. I put up the screen up there. Actually, I couldn't see it, but it gave me indication to flip the slide up here so you can see it. But reality, I couldn't see the screen up there, but I only see the highlight, power to delight. So I can flip the screen, okay? Chapter 3, verse 9 to 12. With the tongue, we praise our Lord and Father. And with it, we curse men who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brother, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brother, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. So what exactly James tried to tell us? Using the tongue, we have the power to delight the people through the spring. But again, he used the image. It cannot be the spring or the fountain, something good. But it cannot fresh water and salt water at the same time. Something wrong. And the same thing, the fig tree, but two different kinds of fruit. It cannot be. So the fountain provides cool water, man need to stay alive. A lot of section in the Bible talking about the fresh water. When Moses take the people through the desert, okay, they need water and the spring water, fresh water, to keep the people alive. With water, like a couple weeks ago, you know, Reverend Chris already talking about if you lack of food, you can last for 2 or 3 weeks, but if you lack of water, you can only survive for a couple of days. So the water is very, very, the fresh water is needed for our body, for a person. So the people need water not only for drinking, but also for washing, cooking, farming, and host other activities so necessary to life. And the Bible, in the book of Proverbs, talking about the words of the man's mouth are as deep waters and the wellspring of wisdom as the flowing brook. That's the book of Proverbs, chapter 18, verse 4. And the same thing is talking about the mouth of the righteous man is a well of life. So you are, believe it or not, you are, when you have the love of God in your heart, whatever you say, it can be the spring of life to all the people. And the book of Proverbs chapter 13 is also talking about the laws of the wise is the fountain of life to depart from the snares of death. So through the tongue, you can spread the gospel, bring the people to Christ. It means bring them to eternal life, the fountain forever water which God provides. So this verse from Proverbs actually is parallel with what James has written, and it's talking about the very important of our words. Water is life-giving, and our words can give life to people, believe it or not. But if the water is not controlled, it will bring death and destruction. We have been through Harvey, hurricane. Water is good, it brings life, but overabundance of water, and it not controlled water, like the flood of Harvey, it destroys life, home, and a lot of things. So our word, the same thing, if it's not under control, if God not control our word, it can be very, very destructive. So our word can help to shelter and encourage the tiresome people. It can help to feed the hungry soul. A lot of people need the word. The lips of the righteous feed many. Jesus Christ said, "The word that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life." So whatever you say, you know, as a Christian, you share the message to the people about your life. And when you witness to the people, whatever happened to you, you bring life to the people. You bring encouragement to all the people. Two Sundays ago, one of the brothers, very much looking for work and captarians, stopped by the church and sit under the tree. So I very much share with him, very much look to the right. See, very, very busy life, tiresome, okay? He's still looking forward. He wants to move his family to Houston, and he had no rest. And when he looked to the left, he see the cross. He feel peace, feel calm, okay? And that's where the gospel we share would impact. Go through the heart of him, the needed encouragement, joy, and peace. And he's looking for that. And then he pray, accept Christ. So we are a Christian. Honorable, I know about that. But James, he also used the image of the tree. The tree rely on the deep root. So the most important the tree is the root system. If the roots do not go down deep, the tree will not grow in a healthy manner. And as long as we deep root in the things of our Lord Jesus Christ, and our word will be the fruit of our fellowship with him. So that's the reason why we need to devote ourselves, we need to meditate ourselves in God's word in order to have the deep root in him. So whatever we share to the people is from the heart and with the guidance from his word. So that's the reason why in Psalm 1, the Bible talking about we will be like the blessed man or woman to other people. So if you and I are going to have a tongue that delight, then we must meet our Lord Jesus Christ each day and learn from him. We must get our spiritual roots deep into his word. We must pray and meditate and permit the Spirit of the Lord to fill our hearts with God's love and truth. But again, James here also warning, the fountain cannot give forth two kinds of water, the sweet water, fresh water, and salted water. The tree cannot bear or carry two different kinds of fruits. We expect the fountain to flow with sweet water or fresh water all the time. We expect the fig tree to bear figs. And that whole principle, it cannot, two things happen at the same time in the man, life or the Christian life. The nature reproduces after its kind. If the tongue is inconsistent and there is something radical wrong with the heart, I heard so many times, the professional Christian who got angry at the job and had lose some of the words, okay, lose with some oath, and he very much embraced, and then he turned to his partner and said, I don't know why I said that. It really isn't in me. I heard this so many times, okay? But truly, think about it. If the person do something like is it had to be in that person, because if it's not in that person's heart, and then it cannot come in out with the mouth. When the person get angry, some throw out certain word or curse word. So deep down in the heart, it has that word, and it coming out. So that reason why we have to have devotion, the fellowship with Christ, and confess our sin to Him. We have to saturate ourselves with God's word in order when under trial and chaos, God's word, the good word, is still coming out. So the tongue that bless a father and turn around a cursed man make in God's image. So that reason why something is not right. And the Bible said, my brethren, these things ought not so to be. So the problem is not the tongue, but it coming back from the heart. It's easy to say, be there and be and strive in our heart, in verse 14. But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. Well, that's what Jesus Christ teach. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issue of life, in the book of Proverbs. So if we fill our heart with God's words and yield ourselves to the Holy Spirit, the control of the Holy Spirit, He can use us to bring delight to others. And we will be refreshing fountains and good trees to bear correct fruit. So how to apply? Application. You can go back home and read from verse 13 to 18. It's very much about the application. Please. Thank you. I'm sorry. I love you. I'm praying for you. Sometimes just some simple word, it can bring peace to the people. And 25 or 30 years ago, when on the street, I heard the people use this. But lately, when you travel, there's no such thing as word please anymore. They cut the line, no more please, no more thank you. So, but again, this is some of the very, very basic word we need to put back in our heart. And trust me, it brings peace to the people, okay? I'm glad some of you, or most of you, still using it. But out of the world, somehow this word begin to disappear from the vocabulary or from the regular conversation. Okay? But use it. And the word like, I pray for you, make sure when you say, I pray for you, you really pray. Okay? But if your word and your action is not in sync, we may be in trouble. But again, The smallest tongue is the largest troublemaker. God can use our tongue to direct others into the way of life and to delight them in the trial of life. The tongue we have is a little member, but it has a great power. But you have to use that power to God. Let God use your tongue and your heart each day and ask Him to use you to be a blessing to others. Okay? Can you do that? Every day, ask God to use you, at least use your tongue, to be the blessing to others. Okay? Let us stand up. Pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you very much because today your word in the book of James reminds us about our tongue. And from our tongue, we have the power to direct. We have the power to destroy. But again, we also have the power to delight. So I pray the Holy Spirit will be in each one of us in this room. We allow God to use our tongue to be the blessing to other people and give the glory to you. We love you, and we pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.